A song that I have listened to numerous times since our grief and disappointment in our family life was Just As I Am, I Come Broken, and we sang that at Chad's funeral. And the first verse is, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Come, I come broken to be mended, I come wounded to be healed, I come desperate to be rescued, I come empty to be filled, I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with his open arms. Praise God, just as I am. I come, just as I am. I come, am, praise God, just as I am." The title of the message this evening is, "Have I Come Broken?" That is, broken before God. It's much easier to listen to that song or to sing that song than to actually be broken before God. Now, we like to think about that this evening and think about whether we are broken before God. You may open your Bibles to Psalm 78, and we'll look at that in a bit, and we'll look at a few other scriptures. Brokenness is not something we enjoy and like. It is something that I don't find pleasant. And there'd be different definitions. Maybe we should just think about what we're talking about. But I think of the word surrender. It's a state of surrender. Someone said it refers to the state of surrender and defeat we experience when hardship comes into our usually steady and painless life. But I want to go further than that. It's brokenness before God. It's a right response to God as a needy, sinful creature that needs God. And just because we have bad circumstances or disappointments in life and death and grief, it doesn't necessarily mean that we become broken before God. And there's a difference. So this afternoon, one of the market tenders that I do business with, he stopped in. We stood outside and talked, and we wondered how it's going. And he mentioned about, well, he gets into prison. And this is one of the reasons he asked and was concerned, because he sees, in my own words, I think he meets people that chose not to become broken before God. And difficulties in life, hardships and pain can actually do something completely different than brokenness before God. And we have that choice, and that's why, as I think I was getting what he was saying, is that's why some end up in prison, because exactly like this, something happened that was bad, and they ended up having a bad response to it. But I think we have 7 points this evening on this truth this evening. First of all, that brokenness before God is resisted by man. Think of the very beginning of man. Cain and Abel, two brothers. And we know what happened. Cain slew his brother, and then God asked him a question. Yeah, where's your brother? And he said, well, am I my brother's keeper? Is that brokenness? I don't think so. See, that's man's nature. Is to resist the brokenness before God. And I think of the children of Israel, and this is a story here in Psalm 78. Just reading a few verses. Psalm 78, verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as a heap. And in the daytime also he led them into a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought forth streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. It mentions there in verse 25 how they ate angels' food, and he rained flesh down, and he let it fall in the midst of their camp. In verse 31, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the choicest of men. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. More could be read. But it illustrates that man has great difficulty in just being broken before him. And there's many stories in the Old Testament, as well as in the New, of being stiff-necked. And not accepting God as their leader and master of their life. I think of Saul. You know, he was one that was doing his own thing, and God went to some unusual measures to strike him down. Stopped him in his tracks, so to speak. We have that in Acts 9. I suppose he could have chosen not to be broken before God, but he became broken, and he was willing to be led. He was willing to be asked, what shall I do? I think of David. It has been mentioned how David was not always faithful. He had some serious failures, some serious sin in his life. And he illustrates someone that resisted brokenness before God. It was about a year that he resisted brokenness. And we'll read that in a little bit. But it shows that this is a characteristic of man, and we conclude that brokenness is resisted by us. Brokenness is resisted by me. I don't really like it, to be honest. But it's really what we need, to come to a place of brokenness before God. And there's things that God can bring into our life that we don't have answers for, and the problems are bigger than us, and we can't use our mind power to get around it. And what God wants is brokenness, and that's what God wanted for the children of Israel. Simply come to a place of brokenness and submission to God. And yet they just resisted it. And yet we need to recognize that we're made of the same material. We really are. Well, the first point was brokenness before God is resisted by man. The second point is brokenness before God is what we need. Brokenness can make room for a contrite heart and repentance. Because what's happening is we are allowing God to do a work in our hearts. And God is not free to work until we come to a place of submission, surrender, and that we stop fighting. Brokenness before God is what we need. And often we try in our own strength and we try to succeed. And I believe it's all to avoid this brokenness and surrender and submission to God for His plan for our life. It's what the children of Israel need. It's what the New Testament, I think of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, they resisted Christ. They really needed surrender to Jesus Christ. Third point is brokenness before God begins when we pay attention. Let's read from 2 Samuel chapter 12. This is the story of David. As I mentioned before, David fought brokenness for approximately a year. And we have here in 2 Samuel 12, Nathan the prophet coming to David. And verse 1, And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee my master's house, and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto him, the Lord also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Brokenness before God begins when we pay attention. David, I believe, had many battles in that year. He tried to figure things out in his own terms, tried many different things to try to conceal his sin, try to make it look like everything's okay. But he began to listen to Nathan the prophet. And he quickly had an answer for that situation. The story that was shared about the man that killed his neighbor's lamb. But then it was those words that thou art the man. Four words that got David's attention. And those four words is what broke David. He learned that his strength and his what he was doing equaled failure. We need to connect that to our own life this evening, that our own strength and what we try to do and try to manage our life and try to cover our tracks will eventually end in failure. No matter how hard I try, my ability to make life work makes things worse instead of better. I'd like to move to the fourth point, and that is that brokenness before God stops hiding sin. Notice the words in verse 12 there, for thou didst it secretly. David's sin was very shameful. And David concluded that it was just too shameful to expose. He couldn't let this one out. He needed to cover it. He needed to cover it good so nobody knew about this. And so there was many attempts, various attempts, to make sure that this sin we know the story of trying to hide the sin so it looked different than what it was. Brokenness before God stops hiding sin. We need to remember that we're made of the same material, that we are prone to try to hide sin, just like David. Of course, there's all kinds of different sins. And I think it would be accurate to say there's some sins that have more serious consequences than others. But you know, sin is sin, and it gets between us and God. It affects our relationship with God. And instead of dealing with it, we try to hide these things. A number of weeks ago, I shared with someone, talked in someone's barn for a while. And he had come to a place of brokenness before God. And he shared just numerous things. They're not new things necessarily. It's what the human heart is like. you know, the human heart of he shared how he underlined things in his Bible. But it was only to impress other people. It wasn't that he was impressed, but it was just to impress others. And it was a life that consisted of that, of just doing things to... He mentioned that he would go into a cold sweat as he woke up during the night and his wife wasn't in bed. And that was because he thought the Lord came back. And then he'd hear the creaking of a rocker and didn't come back after all. The human heart is deceitful, and we can become very skilled at hiding sin. And brokenness before God. And maybe that's why we resist it, because when we become broken with God, we need to be honest with who we are. He mentioned, his brother was talking to about a shell, you know, and he mentioned how he began to crack. And that's a question for us to think about this evening, is do we have a shell around our heart and not really being real and open and transparent with God, first of all, and with everyone else. And you're thinking of brokenness, and you know, we need to come to a place of, if we have in any way, is to open up and start to crack. And this here, it's a cup. It has a little bit of a crack. What we're talking about tonight is we start to break. And what happens is things start coming out. In fact, we get everything out. And then we can start over. We can be put back together. God will put us back together. But that's one of the reasons of becoming broken before God, is just to get everything out of our heart and life that shouldn't be there. But one of the reasons we fight against that is, you know what, it kind of makes a mess. It makes a mess here. And we don't like that. It's ugly. It's well, fifthly, brokenness before God brings transformation. For David, it was those six words, "I have sinned against the Lord." Be interesting, you know, God saw everything. But why did God wait so long? God was watching. He didn't miss anything. He knew David's thoughts. He knew what he was. But it seemed like David was ready, and God knew that. He was ready. Maybe he had a whole week of no sleep. I don't know. I would say it was probably the worst year of his life. I'm sure of that. I'm sure he had a tough time because, of course, he was, you know, the best king that ever was. He was tremendously qualified. I mean, he was a psalmist. He could write. He had a tremendous memory. He could write songs. He could sing songs. And, of course, God sent a man, did some personal work, and his response is, "I have sinned against the Lord." And that was the beginning of a new course. At last, David faced God with his terrible sin. He flung himself before God, and he appealed to God for his mercy and his kindness, and we have that in Psalms 51. I'd like to read that. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil, and in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. It was the beginning of a transformation. And we see that here. That he wanted something different. And he was receiving something different. He flung himself before God, just appealing for a thorough cleaning, cleansing. Verses behind me here. Create in me a clean heart, O God. He said that with all his heart. It wasn't to make some impression with somebody, or these aren't neat phrases, but it was the overflow of his heart. Notice how in verse 4, he took ownership of his sins. I have sinned. He asked for purging. And restore unto me the joy of salvation. Many blessings in becoming broken before God, and we see them listed here. We'll talk about them briefly. Sixthly, brokenness before God accepts the truth. Notice the little phrase there in verse 6. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. David did know God. He was a friend of God. And he mentions that. God desires truth in the inward parts. Way deep in the inner part of man. We want truth there. That's the will of God. God wants truth, brethren and sisters, to go to our very core of who we are. Not to just have it on the surface. And it's easier to have it on the surface than have truth go to our very core of who we are. You see, when truth goes to the very core, goes to those inward parts, it confronts the lies that we tell ourselves. How do we get truth into our inward parts? I believe one way, an important way, is reading God's word and having devotional life. And that would be a question for us to think about in our own Christian life, is just how is our devotional life? Is the truth going into our inward parts? Is that what happens when I have devotions? Or is it just sort of keeping after the plan that I chose to have? It really should be. I believe if truth goes into our inward parts, there'll be some evidence in our life. God wants that to be happening. At the same time, Satan doesn't want that to be happening. We're in a spiritual battle. It's a very serious battle, brethren and sisters. While God is desiring truth to go into our inward parts and produce something beautiful inside and the life that we live, at the same time, Satan is trying very hard to have other things go into our inward parts. Things that just don't help us whatsoever. I was thinking about something of that in my own life here that I need to address. Things that it doesn't help. Satan will try to put things, maybe it's not bad, but is it helpful to live a good, pure, holy life? So let's, if we're not having a good, strong, vibrant personal devotions this evening, we need to be alerted to the importance of that. Because if we're not, then Satan is maybe doing a work of getting things into our heart and life that are not good. And we're not taking the time to put the good things in our heart. Seventhly and lastly, is that brokenness before God brings beauty. While we struggle with brokenness, and our nature is resentful or resistant, we see that all through Scripture, as God work with individuals, like Jonah. We want to have our life. We don't like God to come in our life and just throw things in a turmoil. But really, God wants us to come to a place of brokenness. And that will be something of beauty. Let's just think of a few things that are some of the beautiful things that come when we come to a place of brokenness in our life is first of all, is a clean heart, whiter than snow. I think of David's journey there that year. He had to feel just really dirty. Day after day and day after day. He probably got tired of it. But he broke. He said, I've sinned before the Lord. He wrote Psalms 51. And I believe he was cleaner than what he was for a long time. He says in verse 7 about being whiter than snow. There's a mending together. Thinking of that song that we come before God. And we deal with our life. We're honest with our life. We let all the corruptions and deceits and hypocrisies out. I think God starts to mend us and put us back together. And there's freedom from bondage. There's such bondage when we resist God in our life. And I believe we can even be a Christian and be just having areas in our life that we're resisting. We're not surrendering to God. We need to mind that. I'm glad for God's patience with me to work with me as I think of my journey of Christian life. Restoration, I think, is another blessing. To be restored to God, restored with relationships, things being put back together. I think of joy. We notice that in verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. In my study here, I came across he was a Protestant writer. He mentioned that the reason he had not lost his salvation, he just was wanting his joy to be restored again. So I could see where he was coming from. Yes, sin, not being completely open with our life, doesn't bring joy. But after we are honest and we're open before God, before others, we experience joy. He mentions about the broken bones. You know, when there's that knitting and there's restoration, there's a putting back together, there is joy. There is a sharing. What happened in verse 15? My mouth shall show forth thy praise. There's an evangelizing and saying, look what God has done for me. And we're not quiet anymore. God is doing something for us. And there's also a usefulness. As we become a broken vessel, allowing God to sanctify us, cleanse us, restore us, mend us together, we become useful to service. And that's a question for us tonight. It's a serious question. How it is with us? Have I been broken? You know, if we have not been, then someday we will be, but it will be too late. And it's very important that we have come to a place. And it's an onward, it's not a once and done experience, this journey of brokenness before God. Can we pray that? Or is it too scary for us to pray, Father, bring me to a place of brokenness before you? I will admit that's kind of scary to pray that. I'm human enough that I kind of cringe to say that. But isn't that where the blessings are? To allow God to do whatever he feels best in my life, in my family's life, to help us in our journey of brokenness. Because those are the ones that are going to make it to glory. Let's think about that this evening. As we think about our Christian life, this is what this service is about. Living for Jesus, being faithful, being victorious. We need God's help. We can't do it in our own strength. And that's a question. Are we resisting God in our life? Are we just trying to keep this on? Or are we open enough to just Move the cup. Let everybody see what's in our heart and life. We're just transparent living. That type of living, Satan is very opposed to. But I'm convinced that that will make good homes. It'll make good churches. It'll make good communities. That type of living. But Satan is very opposed to it. I share that I have peace with God by the blood of Christ and what he has done. I sense needs in my own life. Satan doesn't want me to succeed and has ways of trying to keep me from being successful. I want your prayers. Thank you for your prayers. I do appreciate the church. I should say I have peace with the brotherhood as far as I know. I do appreciate our standards and want to support them and promote them. It is work to thought of it now. Some of these are guidelines for devices and that. We have a couple iPads stashed in a drawer somewhere from the butcher shop, and yeah, I feel like we need some help to just maybe get on top of some of those things.